by trusting and obeying Him, not by doing as we please. The Colossians forgot that they were free in Christ. They listened to false teachers who demanded that they follow certain Old Testament laws. Now, that's where some of the asceticism comes in, right? Telling you things you can do, can't do. Okay, that's where they're coming in with the laws. So they were listening to those false teachers. Those teachers insisted that the Colossians had to be circumcised, right? You've got to follow certain Old Testament rituals. They've got to observe Jewish feast days. But Paul says, hold on, that ain't right. Jesus fulfilled all that. So he reminded the Colossians of their freedom. Last paragraph, laws are temporary when it comes to sacrificial system of the Old Testament, but freedom in Christ will last forever. Paul urges us to focus on our forever freedom instead of the things that look good but are temporary. And he tells us, and they put this in two words, to think eternity. So when you turn to chapter 3, which we'll do just a little bit tonight, he'll focus on your eternal perspective of life. Okay. Anything in that section that you want to add to, ask about? I've got bad news for people listening online. I forgot to push the record button. I did it a minute and 30 seconds ago, though. Let me try to point out a couple things in chapter 2 before we look at the bottom section that'll look show you some of the worship of angels and different things like that. So, let's see, in chapter 2, if you look, let's see, about verse 2, you'll see him hint at the issue of the secret knowledge people were claiming they had. Let's see here, he talks about his prayer for people at Laodicea, that their hearts would be encouraged, that they've been knit together in love. And then he says, attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ Himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So a couple times you see him emphasize knowledge there, and again, it's because of what's happening with this false teaching. So he emphasizes true knowledge that comes about with the gospel. And there may be some other places in there. I'm just trying to bounce through here real quick. Verse 8 hits again on the knowledge. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy. You got to be careful with philosophy. Wow. Captive through philosophy, start messing with your mind, making you think in strange ways, and they do so through empty deception according to the tradition of men, man's teaching, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. So watch out for the so-called secret knowledge. When you get to verse 16, you'll find some of the asceticism, and especially the way they were looking at the Old Testament law. He says, let no one act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day. These are things which are a mere shadow of what is to come. But the substance belongs to Christ. Now, verse 18, you're going to see the asceticism and the worship of angels. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement. Okay. Let's see, what does my Bible say in the margin here for that word? A false humility or self-humility. That's the asceticism part, right? That's me denying fleshly appetites and desires, thinking that I can be more holy if I do so, and I can eradicate sin nature. So don't let anybody defraud you by delighting in self-abasement. And then he says, and the worship of angels, because they were dealing with that. Making or taking a stand on visions he has seen. There we go again with some of that secret knowledge you're claiming they have. Secret or visions they've seen inflated without cause by their fleshly mind, etc., etc. And then verse 20 talks again about asceticism. If you've died with Christ, elementary principles of the world, then why do you live in the world? All these decrees, do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. So anytime you've got a list of man-made rules in an attempt to be holy, or in an attempt to eradicate a sin nature. Paul says that is not the way it works, right? You can literally beat your body, but you've still got a sin nature. So that's a little bit how you see that false teaching in there. So anything on that before we look at the bottom, just real quick for a couple minutes before we go? I think the pizza settled on y'all too. All right, so let's think eternity. So in chapter 3, there is in the first part of this chapter what the book pulls out as some helps to think on eternity from a different perspective. So verse 1 of chapter 3. If you have been raised up with Christ, then keep seeking the things above. That's where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. So, a couple of the first blanks here. And it kind of goes without much explanation. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. To think eternity, number one, seek eternal things. I think if we were honest, I think we all get wrapped up in the here and now, and we forget that there's a whole eternity out there. And it helps when you're going through a difficult time to rise above those circumstances and remind yourself again, you know what? Against a backdrop of eternity, is this really worth me worrying about? It's easy to say that, but it's really hard to do that. So seek eternal things. Second verse, he rewords it, almost the exact same idea. Fix your desires on things above. So he says, set your mind on things above, not on things that are on earth, which is hard to do. I'll jump down to verse 5, the third way the book lists for thinking eternity and considering an eternal perspective. Again, not easy to do, but he says, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to things like immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed. And he says about greed in particular, this amounts to idolatry. So the book summarizes this and says, put to death sinful desires. Again, easier said than done. And that's why I think when you want so bad to be free from the temptations and struggles, you think, all right, maybe if I just start denying myself a little bit more, maybe if I literally beat myself, okay, maybe I can have some victory over whatever this is. And Paul argues that a list of rules doesn't really cut it, right? It's that submission to God. Resist the devil, he'll flee. I think it says there in 1 Peter, I believe. So they're counting on some things that the Bible never teaches for trying to maintain and achieve that level of righteousness and holiness. So put to death sinful desires. And I think I'm just going to stop there because the next two come from later in that chapter. And we'll pick up with that next week. And what I'm going to do when we get through with that little list, I'm going to show you one more spot in Colossians where you find instructions about husbands and wives. And then we'll wrap that up. And then we'll jump into the next book.